He's the person who's done all that for me. Daniel chapter number 9 tonight. Daniel chapter number 9. There was a request that didn't get mentioned. I guess it was laid up here and I didn't see. It was for Terry Powers. I know we heard, but to give you a little bit more of an update, she does have stage 3 brain cancer. She starts radiation on Monday. She did have another stroke, and she cannot talk right now, but she is at home. And she also have a request for her mother. Alice has a spot on her lung and is having a CAT scan done to see if it's cancerous or not. So give you a little bit of update on Miss Terry Powers. Daniel chapter number 9. Tonight we're going to look at verses 20 through 23. I know the plan was to get started in the verses 24 throughout the rest of the chapter, talk about Daniel's 70 weeks, the famous prophecy that describes the end times, and also some different things in there. But the Lord kept on bringing me back to these three verses. We spent a couple weeks talking about Daniel's wonderful prayer that he had. And there's one point in here that I think is important for us to understand, important for us to remember. I think this will help us tonight. And it talks about how God answers Daniel's prayer. God answers Daniel's prayer. And here's the thing, is God answers prayer. And we should be thankful for that. And you say, Pastor, I don't always get my prayers answered. And I'll be honest with you, I think we always get our prayers answered, but sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is you just got to wait for a little while. And sometimes the answer is yes. And we're going to talk about that towards the end of the message. It's going to be the greater part of the message. But there is something interesting here in Daniel chapter number 9 to remind you what we were talking about there. It's been a few weeks since we looked in the book of Daniel because of Brother Mark preaching and also other things going on there. So Daniel chapter number 9, we saw, if you look at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about the time period. It's in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. And it talks about the time period where he's at, and we learned that it was almost the 70 years was accomplished. It says in verse number 2, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now you say, what's the big deal about the 70 years? Well, if you haven't been here, those 70 years is in reference to the 70 years of captivity that the nation of Israel was going to be under. And Daniel here knows these 70 years is almost done and it's almost over. And Daniel goes to God and begins to pray. And it's one of the most fantastic prayers in all the Bible. He says, I do not know how to pray. Teach, and you know, that's an important thing for us to learn. Even the disciples came to Jesus, didn't say, well, Jesus, teach us how to walk on water. Didn't say, Jesus, teach us how to make all the loaves and fishes so we can feed 5,000 people. Teach us how to heal the dead, raise the dead, heal the sick. You know what they said? Lord, teach us to pray. And the reason why they did that is because he knew it was centered, their relationship was centered on that prayer relationship he had with God the Father. And here Daniel has a lot of different things, the five things we talked about those couple weeks. First of all, the Bible should drive us to our knees. We talked about how Daniel here was reading the scriptures and he saw the need and he went to God. And that's something that the Bible should do. When we pray and we understand more about the Bible, it should drive us to our knees. See that there is a great need in this world and a great need of the things that are going around and what the future is going to be. The Bible should cause us to want to change. I know when I read the Bible with a pure heart and a clean spirit, the Bible just works on my heart and spirit and says, look, you need to change this. You need to work on this. It just drives me to prayer and makes me want to pray. We also should be fervent in our prayers. If you go back and you look in verse number 3, it says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Now, Daniel here is probably near 90 years old. You picture this old prophet, this man of God, that's been in Babylonian captivity almost all his life, and he's there in sackcloth and ashes, and he's praying, he's serious, he's fervent about his prayers. We also looked at our prayers should be filled with praise, and we began to look at the different attributes that Daniel went over in that prayer. We should agree with God about our sins. During that prayer, you see a great confession about sin, about the sin, his own sin, about the sin of his people. And you say, well, where in the Bible does it say Daniel sinned? Well, it doesn't say exactly what Daniel did that was wrong, but it does show us that Daniel was confessing his sin and teaches us we are all sinners. And if some people look at Joseph and look at Daniel and say, well, the Bible never says that they did anything wrong. Well, the Bible also tells us we're all sinners. So here, and we see here that we should agree with God about our sins. We should come to the point where we agree with God and we know that we're sinners, and then we should pray that God get the glory. We saw that at the end of verse number 19. It says, O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. And, O my God, for the city and thy people are called by thy name. Talk about when we can look at God and agree with God with a heart of praise that we are sinners and that, God, we want you to take our life and use it for your glory. That's when our prayer life really becomes effective. And I want you to look here in verses 20 through 23. There's a couple interesting observations I'd like to make about these verses. And then I'd like to look at, for the most part, how God answers prayer. Let's look here in verse number 20. It says, and whilst I was speaking. Now, who is this? This is Daniel. Daniel was praying. And praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God. It says, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. Now we see Gabriel's angel. He takes on a man form. He comes before Daniel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning. Now we know that Daniel has had different visions, and Gabriel has helped interpret some of those visions. It says, and whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of evening oblation. And he informed me, and I talked with him and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. The main thing I want you to get tonight, the main thing I want you to understand, and it's the sixth point after we talk about those other fives, is something I don't want you to miss. Something I want you to write down and remember is God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And this is something I want you to remember and put in your memory banks, because I think many times we pray so often and we pray without the power of God, and we pray amiss, and we don't pray the way God wants us to pray. We pray with iniquity guarding our heart that we just think God doesn't hear our prayers, or God just doesn't answer our prayers, that we're just praying and God picks and chooses who he answers and who does not answer. But I disagree with you. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. That's not the only verse in the Bible that says that, but one verse is enough. He says, he will answer you. Now, once again, we're going to talk about a little while how God answers our prayers, but there's two things I want you to take note here. Let's go ahead and look here in verse number 21. It says, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of evening oblation. Now, I want you to remember, Daniel knows the 70 years of captivity is up. I think you say, well, Pastor, what is he praying for here? I think he's praying for his people, but there's another thing that's going on. Daniel knows that his people are supposed to go back to Israel. He also has seen inside these visions that he has seen four world empires. He has seen these empires that are going to come, and one's going to defeat the other, and then the one's going to defeat the other. And he has seen in the interpretations from Nebuchadnezzar's dream to the interpretations he had saw in chapter 7 and chapter number 8, there was going to be four world empires. And we know those four world empires would be Babylon first. And then we learned that the Medes and Persians were going to come. That was clearly told by Jeremiah and also seen in the book of Daniel. And then we saw how the Greek Empire was going to come and take over the Medes and Persians. We saw that written very, very explicitly in the Bible. It even explained who Alexander the Great was and how he was going to die at a young age and how all these different things. It's amazing what we've learned already. And then we have also learned that the Roman Empire is going to come and take over the Greek Empire. See, those are four empires that Daniel has learned about through the visions of what's going to happen. And here, 70 years is up. Daniel thinks the nation of Israel is going to go back. He probably thinks that the Messiah is going to come. They're going to have the millennial reign and everything's going to be wonderful and great. But there's a problem. There's two more world empires that isn't even on the scene. Right now, it's just the Medes and Persians that are on the scene, and he's living under this empire. He knows that Cyrus is going to let them come back, and Cyrus is the one that's actually going to be on the throne. He's already part of history at this point in time, and they're going to let him go back and rebuild the temple and rebuild the city. He knows all that, but he says there's two more empires on the scene. You know, what's going on? And I think Daniel is looking for some explanation here. And he's looking and he's searching, and that's what he's praying to God for. Say, how do you see that, Pastor? Where do you get that from? Well, it tells you here It says here in the prayer, it says in verse number 21, it says, yea, while I was speaking in the prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of evening oblation. He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. He says, look, I've come here, and I'm going to give you understanding. It says, at the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. You go through and you read that prayer. If you read it in the Hebrew, it probably takes about 3 minutes, the prayer that Daniel had. And you think Gabriel, it took Gabriel 3 minutes to get from heaven to there. No, he says right at the beginning, I bet you if Daniel had his eyes closed, Gabriel was just there waiting. His prayer was answered. He was there, he's sitting there waiting for Daniel to get finished. He could tell Daniel what was going to happen. Now, so we got a setting of what he's looking for. Now, this is something I think that is really interesting. This is one of the two observations I like to look at tonight. If you look at the end of verse number 21, it says, he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. You know what that means? It's talking about Daniel was praying at the time of the evening sacrifice, which is at 3 o'clock. And when you look at that, you say, what's the big deal about that? Well, I thought it was really interesting. It was really neat. Is that God teaching us here something that about Daniel. Daniel here has been in Babylon for over 65 years. You can say 67, 68, 69, 70 years, however many years. He's been there for over 65 years. And he knows that every day they would go and have an evening sacrifice to have the confession of sin done and seek mercy on God. And here, the time that Daniel was praying, I just think it's amazing that it's a time during the evening sacrifice. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the same time when Jesus Christ was offered as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. And it's amazing that as you understand that Daniel's praying here, he is seeking for the mercy of God. He is confessing to God the sins of him and the sins of his people. And this is what the worshiper did when he brought that lamb to God at the evening sacrifice. He brought that lamb and he was saying, I am guilty. And then they put the lamb on the altar and they would slay the lamb for the sins of the person who brought it. And you think about it, what is examined? It's the lamb that's examined. You know, the high priest would look at the lamb. The person that was doing the sacrifice would look at the lamb. It's not the person bringing the lamb. And see, Daniel, when he's coming and he understands that there's a sacrifice that's going to be made, and he's praying during this time, in this period. Now, this is 70 years later. There is no more Jerusalem. There is no more altar. There is no more blood being shed. There is nothing of that happening anymore. So why are you making a big deal out of it, pastors? Because Daniel, even though past 65 years later, he doesn't want to stop praying to God, seeking him for mercy. He doesn't want to stop confessing. He wants to go to God still before the same time in the same place. And this lamb's blood that was shed and it was sacrificed, it was done to help seek the mercy of God. And I just think it's amazing that you could not get God out of Daniel. Now, you could take the Israelite, miles away from Israel, take him miles away from Jerusalem, take him miles away from the altar, take him miles away from the priest, take him off, but you could not get the God of Israel out of Daniel. Daniel, still, I can imagine every day during this time, because it talked about how he prayed 3 times a day. This time, every day, I'm sure, he went to God and he prayed before God, seeking God from confessing his sins and for mercy, just like they used to bring the lamb to the priest. And that's the same time that Jesus Christ himself was sacrificed. For us, one lamb slain for the rest, for the world of man, for all mankind. And I think it's amazing that this time, and he is praying and confessing his sin, and he's asking for mercy at this time of sacrifice. And I think it's amazing when we consider what Daniel is praying for here, and the time he is praying for, the love that Daniel has, and the understanding that Daniel has. And I believe as we go to God with the confession of sin, seeking God's mercy, God will give us insight on what things are important. And that's what happens in verse number 22. Why does Gabriel come? Gabriel comes and says, and I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. So I want to explain to you. Yes, Israel is going back for those, and at this time, they're going to go back and they're going to build the temple. They're going to build their city, but they're not going to be the world power. The time of the Gentiles is still going on. Now, a second thing I saw as an observation, is you see in verse number let's go to verse number 22. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. That's the second observation in this prayer, is that Daniel's beloved. Daniel is greatly beloved. And if you look at this word, and you study out that word, you can also put the word precious there. Daniel was precious to God, precious in heaven. And you say, well, that was Daniel because he was some great, mighty prophet. And he was this and he was that. And the Bible tells us that we are all precious in God's sight. We are all loved by God. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 1:6. It says, To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein hath he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the beloved. This teaches us that God hears our prayers, not because we're good. God hears our prayers, not because we deserve it to be heard. He hears our prayers simply because he loves us. He cares for us. And I mean, I don't know about you, but that helps me. Daniel here, he says, look, the reason why I sent this to you is because you are greatly beloved. And it says that last phrase, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. God doesn't want you to walk around not understanding what his word says. God wants you to understand. He wants to show you and teach you the deep things of the Bible. But we have to be willing to do our part in our study. You see, Daniel, he's getting these opportunities to have these visions and learn of all these things, you know, after 70 years of loving him and serving him in a foreign land. And where did he learn? We learn in verse number 2. What brought him to his knees? It's because the word of God affected him. He's 90 years old. He's on his way out. He's getting ready to die. He's never going back to Jerusalem. But he knows his people are. And this drives him to his knees because he loves his God and he loves his nation. Man, there's some things I think we could learn there from the fact that he was praying during a time of sacrifice and the fact that he was beloved. Third thing, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time at tonight, is how God answers prayer. How God answers prayer. And nothing else comes from Daniel, the story of Daniel. This is just some thoughts here to help you understand how God answers prayer. First thing I want you to think about is sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is no. James 4:3 says, ye ask and receive not. Can you imagine if you got everything you wanted? I don't know about you. Some of you that have children are smiling right now, or especially young children. Boy, if I gave Andrew everything he wanted, boy, he would probably weigh 200 pounds right now. So if I gave myself everything I wanted, I'd probably weigh 400 pounds. Because, you know, we know that not everything we desire, everything we want, is something that we need. I know when I was 18 years old, I thought that I had found the perfect girl, and I started praying. She was spiritually minded. She was she had a good family. I thought God was really going to use her. And we started praying together. And she was a little bit younger than me, so I wasn't ever really serious about it. We started praying together that it'd be God's will that we get married. Boy, was I wrong. I'm glad I did not get that, because I got something much better in my wife. A few years later, God had something planned for us. And even though we were both Christians, we were both seeking God's will, and we were both seeking God's desire, but her parents came and said, you know what, we think your relationship's too serious for our daughter that's a younger age. And I could not understand that. I had done nothing wrong. I had done all their rules. I followed it. We were courting, in a sense. We were just very close friends, and they cut that off. You know, looking back now, I am so thankful for that. Well, the Lord gave me something that I don't deserve, and she's wonderful in all that she does for me, and I could not imagine anything better than what my Lord gave me for a wife, and I'm very thankful for her. And, you know, if I got everything I wanted, I probably would be playing a professional soccer career if I looked at it when I was a teenager. Or if I was a little kid, I'd probably be a fireman today or a police officer. You know, we don't always know what we need. We don't always know what we want. And the truth is, God sometimes, when he answers our prayer, is no. Think about some of the times when the Bible, when God's answer is no. I think of another preacher. And I think of the story of Elijah. You guys remember that story where there was the great Mount Carmel, and he defeated all those hundreds of prophets, and he went out there, and he thought that God was going to turn the heart of Jezebel, and Jezebel was going to get right with God. You know, sometimes some people just are not going to get right with God. Some people are going to love the devil too much and love their sin too much, and they're not going to turn. We can pray and we can do what we can to reach out to them, but it's their own personal decision. And that Elijah was discouraged and disappointed. God saw this great, he called fire down from heaven and killed all those prophets of Baal and saw all this stuff happen. And Jezebel says, I'm going to kill you. He gets upset, gets discouraged. He goes, travels out into the wilderness, sits underneath that, I think it was a juniper tree. It was underneath some type of tree or twig and says, Lord, kill me. Aren't you glad he didn't answer that prayer? The answer was no. God says, I'm not going to let you. And you think about Elijah. How did Elijah die? I mean, he didn't. He got carried up in a fiery chariots. I mean, isn't that awesome? If God would have answered Elijah's prayer and Elijah would have been killed that day underneath that tree, they would have found his body. And instead of hearing about this great story about this great man of God that was taken up in the flames of fire, in the chariots of fire, you'd be preaching this message about how you can get discouraged and despondent and blah, blah, blah. No, it's God didn't answer his prayer. And I'm thankful God didn't answer his prayer, aren't you? And if we look back on our lives sometimes, the answer should be no. If we go back and we see God guiding and directing and leading our lives, the truth is we know that we don't always need what we want. God did not answer Elijah's prayer, and Elijah is walking in the streets of heaven today, and I'm sure thanking and praising God because of the fact that God said no. Sometimes that's what happens. And I'm not saying it's always because, you know, we want something that's going to harm ourselves, but the answer is no sometimes. Next thing I want you to think about is, here's another example where somebody got what they wanted. I don't know if you remember back in Numbers chapter 14, Israel cried. After they said, I want you to go to Canaan, I want you to take over to Canaan. They saw all those giants, they all got all upset and they got really worried. And he says, would God we had died in the wilderness. You know what? They got what they asked for. They died in the wilderness for the next 40 years. You know, sometimes God does get what we ask for, even if it's not really what we need. We need to be careful to let God lead and guide us and direct us in the ways he wants us to go, instead of trying to force something on God. One of the important things about prayer that we've been trying to learn, trying to teach, is prayer is not us trying to get our will done in heaven. Prayer is trying to allow God's will be done in our lives, letting God change us. And that's what prayer is all about. It's not us trying to get our will done up there. Prayer is about letting God get his will done down here. And that's important to remember. Second thing is, you know, it's a good time, good answers. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is yes. And I like this idea that's found in Acts chapter number 12. And I remember that story, Peter's in jail. Next day, Herod's going to chop his head off. It's all done. You know what that early church does? They gather in that house and they have an all-night prayer meeting. Not just one that lasts till 11 o'clock, but they have a prayer meeting that lasts all night long. And you know what happens? God answers a prayer. Peter is sprung out, and he is there, and he heads right to that house. So God does answer a prayer sometimes. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, that's great. Sometimes we don't recognize it, though. Sometimes when God does answer our prayers, we don't recognize that God's working in our lives. As you know, the story goes along, you probably knew there was some type of hinge on this. As Peter goes and knocks on the door, rings the doorbell, Rhoda comes to the door, hears Peter's voice, and she runs in and says, Peter's outside. And what do they say? It can't be. He's in jail. You're crazy. And they think Rhoda's gone mad. And you know what? It was a fact that they would not recognize how God was going to work. Now, you might speculate and think, well, that early church just did not believe God was going to answer their prayers. Well, I disagree with you. That early church saw so many supernatural things, and that they were there. They weren't sleeping. They were praying. They were fasting. They were doing all they could to get a hold of God. Maybe they had it figured out in their mind that tomorrow when they took Peter up to the place where they're going to chop their head, this great mighty angel is going to come out in front of everybody and pick him up and carry him off so the whole crowd could see and be amazed. I don't think that they thought that God was going to answer the prayer the way that they did. And this is one thing we've got to remember is that sometimes the answer is yes, but it's not always the way we think he's going to do it. Sometimes we just don't recognize it. Sometimes we don't always see God working, and we think God, and we give up. One of the things I want you to think about is, you know, sometimes when you're praying for somebody, man, I really want them to come to church. Maybe you have a mate that you really want to get saved or come to church, and you're sitting there and you're praying, and it seems like then they start getting upset and angry about the church, start talking bad about God, start talking bad about the Bible. You know what? Many times what that is God has been working on their heart. God has been trying to talk to them, and the devil doesn't want to give them up, and the devil's doing whatever he can to be able to stop that from happening. And God is working and God is moving, but we just can't recognize it. And when we don't see God working, we lose that faith, and you know what happens? We stop praying. We stop praying, and we don't see our prayers answered because we're praying without faith. I want you to understand that the answer is yes sometimes, and that is the good thing. We say, yes, wonderful, but sometimes we just don't recognize when God's moving. And I think it's amazing. Sometimes we expect God to answer our prayers the exact way that we think he should. He's God. He knows exactly how to answer the prayer. He knew that the early church needed to see Peter that night. He knew that that's the time he wanted to do strong. He didn't want to send the angel in front of the crowd to stop the axe as soon as the axe was getting ready to fall. He didn't want that. He did it his way. He knows what's best. Always remember, God is working. Sometimes when your answer, you might be getting your answer to prayer, but you just might not recognize it while they're happening. Third thing I want you to think about is not only is the answer sometimes no and sometimes yes, third thing I want you to think about, the answer might be not right now. Not right now. You ever been told that? You ever told a kid that? That's we like, kids are back there now. We can pick on them all the time we want for the next year. But you know, it's sometimes we are just not patient. And sometimes God's saying, hey, look, you don't need that right now. Yes, I understand. I see the point. I see what you're going after. I see what you want, but not yet. Not right now. And sometimes I would get discouraged if the people in the Bible had lived all perfect, rosy lives. I mean, if it was the fact that everything that they went through and everything they saw and they got every single prayer answered, boy, it would bother me. But if you look at the early church, you see that every one of the disciples, except for maybe one, were put to death. I mean, do you think they were praying, Lord, can you put me to death today? No. Do you think that they were saying, hey, Lord, can you tell Saul to come over here and stone Stephen? They weren't praying that way. They weren't. And so don't get discouraged when things don't seem to be going exactly the way you want. God's just looking for us to be a faithful servant. And sometimes the answer is not right now. Just wait. I see where you're going. I see what you want to do. You need to hold off. There's some things I want to show you. I got something special planned for you. I think about that in the life of Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad. It says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Now, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, they're old by now. I mean, they're well stricken above age. She's barren. I really don't know if Zacharias and Elizabeth were praying at the age of 70 or 80 to have a child. I think this prayer was heard a long time before. And God was going to answer that prayer, but God was going to do it when he got glory for it. God was going to say, okay, I'm going to answer your prayer now. So what prayer? Well, the one that you prayed for a child. Lord, that was 30 years ago. He said, well, I'm going to answer it now. But you say, wow, why would God do that? I want you to give their testimony. He says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all his commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. This means that for a number of years, even though they did not get what they had asked God for, they asked God for a child, God said no. At least God said not right now. You know what their testimony was, though? They were righteous before God. They were walking all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That was not after they had the child. That was before that. So even though they were not getting what they wanted from God, God was telling them, no, not right now. I want you to wait. I'm sure in their mind they had said, it's over. We're not going to have children anymore. Maybe we can go adopt. Maybe we can, you know, be somebody else's parents, you know. No, they still served God despite they didn't get what they asked for. And what a wonderful thought there. Are you serving God today even though you're not getting what you think that you need or what you're asking for? Sometimes the answer is just wait. Just hold on. Here's some I think those are the three main things how God answers prayer. First, the answer sometimes is no. And thank goodness sometimes it is no. If we got what we wanted all the time, well, I don't know where I know I wouldn't be here, put it that way. I know I wouldn't be married to the right person either. Secondly, sometimes the answer is yes. We praise the Lord for that. Well, you go through the Bible and there are times when God answers prayer. God's answering Daniel's prayer right now. And we're thankful for that. Next week, as long as we can understand it, it's a fascinating passage of Scripture when it talks about those 70 weeks and how it breaks down and how it correlates all the way time to when Jesus died on the cross and talks about the future when the last 7 years of the tribulation. It's a fantastic prophecy. You know, God was answering Daniel's prayer. But sometimes we don't always recognize it. Daniel here is thinking that Israel's going back and Israel is going to go in there and take care of his people and the Messiah was going to come. But that's not what God wanted at all. God wanted Jesus to come die on the cross so the way the whole world could know about the gospel. At this point in time, the world doesn't know about the gospel. And if Daniel had gotten his way, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be here. The 1,000 years would already be gone and we would never have been born. Aren't you thankful Daniel didn't get his way? Aren't you thankful that God didn't come at that moment in time? So I want you to understand that sometimes we don't always see God working, but it's unrecognizable. But sometimes the answer is still yes. And last but not least, the other way that God answers is that it might not be right now. Here's a couple helpful hints when it comes to prayer. I know we've talked a few weeks about prayers. I want to remind you of a couple things. You say, Pastor, I just don't feel like God's hearing my prayers. I had, when I was studying, looking, I read somebody says, God's, the fourth way God responds is, speak up a little bit louder. And I don't really agree with that, but I understand what they're trying to get across is that they had sin in their heart. Because they had sin in their heart, God just wouldn't hear them. Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. No one can hope to prevail in prayer who is willfully disobeying God. It's quite true that God answers prayer. He does that for Jesus' sake on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done, not ours, because he loves us, because of what Christ did as a sacrifice. Nevertheless, knowingly to harbor sin in our lives is going to hinder that answer to prayer. You said God answers prayers. You said that. Well, if he doesn't hear it, he's not going to answer it. He says he's not going to hear it. Another thing is, another reason why the answer might be no sometimes or just wait is because we must have faith when we pray. We need to have faith when we pray. Listen to what James says. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Listen to this last phrase. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you're praying without faith, the Bible says you're not going to get anything from God that way. If you want a way to hinder your prayer, hinder the answer, help the answer to be no, then do it without faith. Another thought that's found in James is unoffered prayer is one of the greatest reasons why people don't get their prayers answered the way they think they should. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. You know, if we do not receive more because we just do not ask. Prayer is essentially asking and receiving. And of course, if we do not ask, we will not receive. Only God knows the blessings that we've missed. Stories told about this little boy. And there was this big giant rock that was sitting there. And this little boy got up there and he wanted to move the rock. He wanted to roll the rock over. And the dad was sitting over there on the bench watching him. And he was pushing all his might. It took 5 minutes and he got on the ground. He tried to kick it over. He tried to push it over. He tried to sit it on it. Did everything he could. And the dad said, are you trying with all your might, all your power? He said, I sure am. And the dad says, no, you're not. What do you mean? He says, you haven't asked your father for help. He says, you haven't used your dad's power yet. And that's the same thing with God. Sometimes we try and we try and we try to work with all might and we've done everything that we can in our own strength and our own abilities. But we're missing the key ingredient to the power that we need to answer prayers the way we need to get them answered is God's power and God's help. You have not because you ask not. I'd like to close on one last thing. There is a prayer that God will always answer, just like that. Amen. And that's the prayer of a person who is lost that wants to be saved.
Amen.
So tonight, if you're here tonight, you've never been saved. That is one prayer you can definitely know you're going to get a yes on. If you will see yourself as a sinner and ask God to forgive you your sins and repent of those sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, every single time, the answer is going to be yes. Welcome into the family. If you've never done that before, make sure you do that tonight. Come talk to me afterwards. I'd love to show you from the Bible what God teaches us. Another prayer I think God always hears and God always answers in an affirmative way is when a child of his realizes he's done wrong and with a repentant heart comes to him and confesses that sin. Confession is admittance, but also forsaking the sin. God's going to forgive you of that sin. He's going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's another prayer that God hears and affirms with that answer. You can be right with God. Even if you came in with some type of sin that you regarded in your heart, iniquity you regarded in your heart, you can leave this place with that clear conscience and a clear heart. Tonight, how does God answer prayers? Sometimes it is no. Sometimes it is yes. But not always do we recognize the yeses. And sometimes it is wait. Daniel was interesting where he was praying and when he was praying and how he was praying. It teaches us volumes about how much we could learn about our prayer lives. But also, it's neat to see that he was beloved, greatly beloved. He was precious to God. We are precious to God also. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let's go ahead and raise to our feet for a short time of invitation.